I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but the sun is really shining outside. I just saw it whenever the door was open there. So you say, okay, Pastor, be brief, brother, be brief. Now, Memorial Day weekend, I just wanted to start with just with a word of thanks. You know, this is a weekend when we're supposed to pay tribute to those who have served and even lost their life in the effort to protect our country and our freedoms. Some of whom we know and some of whom we don't know. But this morning I just wanted to focus on how sometimes the idea of having to fight for freedom isn't really clear to us. And maybe we haven't even thought about it too much. But we know that Jesus taught us that we are supposed to love people into the kingdom. And that's absolutely true. But to realize that that we live in a world where, while God allows human free will to have its way, there's always going to be battles. There's always going to be struggles. Jesus came to help us to understand those battles, right? And he imparted into us his spirit that really can help us understand the true battle that's going on in the world today. And so that's what I want to talk about today in a message called The Invisible War, that we would be able to see with God's eyes what's really going on and be able as a result of it to live the victory that Christ came to give us. The Bible very clearly teaches us that our world is more than what we see with our natural eyes. Huh. The Bible tells us that there are indeed two distinct realms, if you will, the physical and the spiritual. We understand, you know, even as with modern science is coming to understand more and more of things that you cannot see with the naked eye, how much more that God's Spirit would want to reveal to us things that are not seen with physical eyes but truly are real. The spiritual realm is real, and it affects the physical. That's the thing that we have to understand, is that the spiritual affects the physical. And I want to talk a little bit more about that today. You know, C.S. Lewis, as I've mentioned many times, is a great author. And he has one book called The Screwtape Letters that is a story, if you will, about how the enemies of our soul, led by Lucifer, the chief enemy, really devises strategies to try to win this war without forcing us. Because we know, we've talked about it many times, that it's clear that while God let Lucifer live when he rebelled against God and fell from heaven, that God does put limits around what he can and cannot do. And so Lucifer preys upon people's free will. You know what I mean by that? In other words, to say it very clearly, the enemy's strategy is to get you to choose out of your own volition that which is wrong instead of that which is right. That is a very simple statement, but it really is a powerful one when you come to understand that it is the complete strategy of the enemy. That, by the way, is allowed by God to influence your will, to get you to choose to do that which is wrong instead of that which is right. Huh? To try to create like a show that's on TV right now called Lucifer, and I've watched a couple of them now, you know, to try to create an image of the devil that is much less vicious than he really is, huh? It is an effort to try to get people to downplay the seriousness of the spiritual war that we're in. You know, you watch shows like that one that's going on right now, Lucifer, and sure, he's presented as a somewhat malevolent creature, but what isn't shown is the viciousness of his nature. God tells us in his word that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But in the limits that God put around him, the way he does it, the way he does it is by influencing your will. And he's pretty good at it, right? There was a little girl who was being yelled at by her mom for pushing her little brother down on the ground and then spitting on him after that. And so the mother, a Christian woman, says, "The devil made you do that, girl." And the girl looks up at her mama and says, "I'm not so sure, Mom. The devil may have made me push him down, but I thought of spitting on him just all by myself." It is sometimes hard to discern, you know, what just has become our own willful rebellion or what is being truly influenced by the enemy. But make no mistake about it, the author of evil is the one that is behind evil. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. We understand that he exists in that spiritual realm with fallen angels that follow his will to do his bidding. And we see its effects in the physical. For example, in the book of Job, you know, Job was probably completely ignorant of what was really going on in the spiritual realm that was causing the difficulties that he experienced, right? But it is very clear that it was the things that were happening in the spiritual realm that caused Job's problems, right? As believers, we need the paraclete. We need the comforter. We need the helper. We need the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to kind of look through two lenses simultaneously. A lens that sees the natural, but also a lens that can discern the spiritual. Amen? Discern the spiritual. That's what God has given us by his Spirit. And that's what we can do. I do love that verse of Scripture that says, you know, we use it sometimes at funerals to speak of the hope that is yet to come, when we start the verse by saying, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love him." But the verse does not stop there. The rest of the verse says, "But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit." We need spiritual eyes, church. We need the gift of discernment from God's Spirit to be able to see clearly, because it's in seeing clearly into the spiritual that we can see what's going on all around us and that we can make right decisions. We can judge appropriately. We can be life and salt to this earth, huh? To our own lives and our own families. Yeah, being able to see into the spiritual realm. Now, just imagine for a moment that God did, you know, wave his hand, and right at this very moment, you could be like Elisha's servant Gehazi. Remember that's in the scriptures? And be able to see into the spiritual realm. For Gehazi, he was living at that moment in fear because he saw the physical army that surrounded the place where he and his master were staying. We know that his master was kind of prophesying and revealing to the Israelite army what was going on in the enemy's camp and the strategy that the enemy was indeed going to bring about to try to crush Israel. So God, by his Spirit, would reveal it to his prophet, and the prophet would reveal it to the king of Israel, and they would be prepared every time the battle would come. So much so that foreign king was so frustrated, he thought a spy was among them. And he was about ready to kill his generals until they cried out to him and said, "No, it's not us. We're not spies. It's not that we have people that are going into our bedrooms listening to what we say. It's Elisha. He's the one that's there by how? The Spirit of God discerning what we're saying and then revealing it to the nation of Israel, the king of Israel. They're prepared for us because God is revealing it to them." Now, the enemy, all he saw was, okay, So the way to squash that is to go after the guy that's telling those tales, reading our mail. And he put the whole army after one man. And that's what Gehazi saw when he went out. He saw that foreign army surrounding him. No wonder he was fearful. But Elisha just prayed that simple prayer, "Oh Lord, open his eyes." And when he did, what did Gehazi see, church? Huh? The armies of God, right? And it really is no wonder that, you know, the scriptures tell us, greater is he, right? Yeah. It's like Mark Geppert, who leads the Southeast Asia Prayer Center, he really teaches about spiritual warfare. And he talks about prayer walking and how it's a part of doing battle because we have God within us, right? He talks about being aware of the enemy's tactics and how we can defeat the enemy. But he talks about how, indeed, we need God's spirit of discernment to even know how to pray, right, in these spiritual battles. And make no mistake about it, we all have spiritual battles. I won't go into the scriptures this morning because I want to keep this brief, but just a couple of touches upon this, you know. Hebrews 12:4 talks about the war that we're waging. 1 Peter 2:11, it says it's a war for our souls. Jude 3 talks about the struggle in our faith. 2 Timothy, Paul begins to tell us that we're soldiers in this war. 2 Corinthians really tells us that we have weapons to fight with that are not carnal but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6, one of the clearest passages of Scripture, tells us we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities of powers and against the authorities of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. If we could see with those eyes, what would we see right now? We would see God's angels, wouldn't we? And we would see the enemy's demons. And all of a sudden, we would become aware that there's more going on than meets the physical eye. Oh, that we would be aware. How it would change our attitudes. How it would change our decisions. How would it change your decision if, you know, all of a sudden, you could actually see the demon that was whispering in your ear to try to get you to do something that you know you shouldn't do? And how would it change your decision if, you know, you could see all the other demons that were squealing in delight whenever you do make that right or wrong decision, excuse me? You know, I didn't have this in my notes, but, you know, one of the reasons that David's sin with Bathsheba really cut to the heart of God so deeply is because it tells us when Nathan the prophet revealed that David's sin to him, he said, "You have caused the enemies of the Lord to show utter contempt." You know what that means? That he was talking about the spiritual war that's going on. He was talking about how God can see very clearly in that spiritual realm. And when you give in to that demon whispering in your ear to do wrong, all the enemies of God just howl in delight. That's why C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters are so powerful, right? Because it starts to show you what's going on there. Now, if you could see that, you would get sick in your stomach every time the enemy wins in getting you to do something that's wrong. You would get sick to your stomach if you could see the howling joy of demons whenever you go to do wrong and do it. You would see the angels of God grimacing as you are causing the enemies of God to show utter contempt for God's choice of you to be his sons and his daughters. But listen, that's who you are. And to come to know that begins to change your perspective. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I'm made for this battle, and I'm made to win through Christ. But you got to see it, right? The battle going on every day in your lives. The battle for your marriages. The battle for your children. Come on. The battles to live pure lives, holy lives. The battles over worry and doubt and despair that are being sown from seeds from the enemy. The battle for materialism that's raging in our culture. All from an adversary that wants to destroy relationships, abolish your purity, attack your integrity at all costs to keep you from knowing the goodness of God and His plan for you to rule and reign with Him forevermore. Yeah. No matter where you are right now, to become more aware of that spiritual war is a good thing. Amen. I was talking to my daughter yesterday on the telephone, and she has just completed a small group series on the book of Daniel. And so I've known this for a while because we've talked before. She calls me when she comes to a hard part and says, "What do you think, Daddy?" I love that. I really do. And I try to tell her what I think, at least the little that I know I reveal to her. But she had come to that part in Daniel. Do you remember it? I think it's chapter 9 and chapter 10, when Daniel had been fasting for 3 weeks, 21 days it says. Remember that? And it's cool because Daniel was trying to seek the Lord for interpretation or understanding of the words of the prophet Jeremiah about their captivity in Babylon. You know, Daniel was trying to figure that out and understand the times, understand what was going on, so he knew how to better to pray and fight this battle, and he was fasting and praying. And 21 days later, the angel Gabriel comes. Remember? Now tell me, church, why it took 21 days for the angel to arrive at Daniel that day. Do you remember? It says in your Bible that Gabriel revealed it to Daniel. He said, "I was on my way as soon as you prayed. God sent me to give you the answer. But the prince of Persia detained me." And you realize that, of course, the prince of Persia is the demon that was assigned to be over that country of Persia, to indeed engage in spiritual battles. This was before Persia had emerged as the world power to replace, right, Babylon. Yeah. And so Gabriel says, you know, "I was detained there until," I like this part, "God dispatched Michael." When Michael shows up, the battle's over, brother. Come on, get excited a little bit about that. God's warrior, huh? Michael shows up and Gabriel's free to go deliver the message. But now, after the message is delivered, Gabriel does say to Daniel, "I'm going back to engage more in this battle," right? What a revelation for us to understand this reality, even from the Old Testament scriptures like that. I was telling Alyssa about that, you know, and I could tell that she was engaged, you know, and she was kind of excited to be able to share some of that during her small group. But the most important part is for her to understand it and apply it to her own life, amen? And then help others do the same. Apply what? The reality, understanding the spiritual war, that you indeed know how to win, fight and win. Oh, yeah. This is a fight that every one of us has to engage in. None of us are exempt from this particular battle. You know, to understand that passage from Daniel should start to cause your mind to question. Question stuff like, is the difficult situation I'm in right now just happening by happenstance? Is my bad mood when I'm around my husband just happening for no reason? Is my marriage being strained for no reason? Is worship being oppressed for no reason? Do my selfish desires, my stinginess, happen because it's God's will? Is my lack of joy and zeal for the Lord the result of something else that's going on that I don't see? Is the bigotry and prejudice that's all around me just happening? Does depression that I struggle with, does it just happen? Or is there something behind it that I need to be aware of and be able to understand how to battle and win? I think you know the answer, right? God has given you such a gift. You know, in Bible study Wednesday night, we're starting to talk about the spiritual gifts of God's Spirit. Well, certainly, as I alluded to before, one of the most powerful gifts that we can have is the spirit of discernment. Amen? And it's not talking about just natural discernment. It's talking about a supernatural gift by God that allows you to open your eyes and see what's going on, what we're talking about today. Discerning of spirits is really how it's phrased in your Bible, isn't it? The discernment of what is going on. You know, God wants so desperately for us to win this battle. God wants so desperately for us to be able to be set free from the oppression of the enemy. He came to allow that to happen. He won the battle. We understand that. But we have to understand how to apply His victory in our daily struggles. For our struggles will continue until the Lord comes back again. Until the day when God takes the devil out once and for all. Amen? Our struggles will continue, even though Jesus has already won the victory and given us the tools to do the same. We will still engage in the struggle. How God wants us to win. How He wants to set us free. Real quick. I'll try to do it fast, right? Mark chapter 5. Do you remember the story of the man that was possessed by multiple demons called Legion? Let me just really quickly paraphrase that story just to make this point. This man, do you realize Jesus left the ministry of the multitudes to cross the lake and find this man? Man, if that doesn't start to push your buttons, you know, to understand it's related to, you know, the shepherd, you know, leaving the 99 and going after the one. That's our God. That's our God who sees you and values every single life as valuable, as important, as one that He died for. He left the multitudes, went across the lake to this region of the Gennesaret to encounter the man who indeed was so possessed that he was a man without love. Soul totally cut off from meaningful connection with any other human being. Do you know what that would be like? To have all connection with any other physical human being cut off. A man without love. A man without peace. The Bible says that no one could even bind him anymore, not even with a chain. We get a picture of a violently agitated soul that's wandering, restless, without any opportunity for joy. It says night and day he would cry out without hope, having lost all the ability to think clearly anymore, to see a different tomorrow. That's when you lose hope, when you can't see a different tomorrow. Amen? In a spiral of self-destruction, it says he cut himself with stones. The Bible doesn't tell us how that darkness came over him. But I can tell you what the Bible does tell you. That man opened himself to it somehow, some way. That man opened himself because the enemy is not allowed until you give your will. I tell you with the authority of Scripture, that man opened himself to the darkness that came upon him and made those wrong decisions, probably over and over and over again, to get him to that point. And Jesus saw it from afar and had compassion on the one, made the trip to deliver this man, called him out, the demon within him. "What is your name?" "Our name is Legion," he said. It's a name that would have struck fear into the hearts of those who heard it that day, because there wasn't a person in Palestine unfamiliar with the Roman Legion, the elite corps of 6,000 soldiers who ruthlessly occupied Israel to try to stifle their national identity. When that word came forth, you better believe the people cowered in fear. Legion. But Legion bowed down at the name of Jesus. You have to understand that you have been named by the name that is above all names, that you have been purchased. And the Scriptures tell us that when you, out of your own free will, made the decision to make Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord, that God literally transported you spiritually out of the kingdom of darkness and planted you firmly in the kingdom of His Son, whom He loves. You are His, not the enemy's. Unless you are ignorant to that, not knowledgeable of that. Oh, isn't it true? My people perish because of a lack of knowledge, right? That you can believe the lie still as a Christian and fall victim to the oppression of the enemy, but not that you have to. You have been given the right to name the name of Jesus and have within you the Spirit of Jesus. Or say it with me: greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus shows up in this man's life, and can you imagine the kind of force that could make 6,000 battle-hardened warriors fall to their knees, whimpering and begging for mercy? That's the force of Jesus that showed up into that man's life, that spoke to those legions. Imagine that kind of spiritual firepower that could compel in a matter of seconds 6,000 of the adversary soldiers to give up the position they spent years consolidating and cause them to run for their lives. That's your God. It's not fantasy. But it is the good news that evil cannot stand before Christ. Greater is He that is in you. That's why Jesus didn't end His statement when He said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." He says, "But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Do you understand that when you can learn to live in the power of God's Spirit, you begin to tap into the truth, the revelation of God that brings you life and victory. Not a life that is without problems or challenges. You've never heard nor never will hear me say that. But a life that can be lived in victory over those challenges because of the power of God, because of the filling of God's Spirit, the power within you, the power that rose Jesus from the dead. Being filled with God's Spirit needs to be a regular thing in our lives, huh? And if it is, then we begin to be equipped with that, not only to win our own victory, but through God's discernment, be able to see how to help others. You know what is the greatest gift in regard to this gift of discernment? Is being able by God's Spirit to see what causes people to do what they do. You know, I pray today that God would give us that ability so that we would be much less quick to judge others and more able to see what they may be going through or have gone through that's causing them to be and act the way they do. That instead of shunning or criticizing, we begin to see how to help and set them free. You know, and I know that through the power of God's Spirit, the church is the hope of the world. This truth is not just for us and our families, it is for all. And it is the church's responsibility to begin to understand. It's just like the gifts of the Spirit being given us. They're not for our own benefit. They are indeed to be able to be used for the building up of the body of Christ, for the rescuing of the lost, for the setting free of the captives, deliverance for the oppressed. These are gifts given by God's Spirit to every single Spirit-filled Christian that they may operate in those gifts. And in doing so, be a part of setting the captives free. I read an article in preparation for this message, and I'll close with it today. It was from Kay Warren, and some of you know Rick Warren from Saddleback Church. And Kay underwent her own battle with cancer, as if you might remember that story. This particular article was about her traveling in a Memorial Day past in Texas and coming to the airport and being there waiting for her next flight to leave when she began to hear a bunch of people just hooting and hollering. And here it was, people that had gathered to greet the troops as they were returning home and to give them a hero's welcome. And because she had time before her flight left, her and her traveling companion kind of were drawn into that group and began to also be a part of the crowd that began to just thank and really applaud those soldiers who had come back from battle. You know, her message that hit me in the article was that, you know, she says, how many people are engaged in battles right now that need encouragement rather than criticism, that need the discerning Christian, the Spirit-filled Christian, to be able to see through the facade, to see with spiritual eyes and be able to encourage them? Do you know how powerful a word of encouragement can be to somebody that's undergoing those kind of battles in their life right now? You have been given the words of life, and your words can mean the difference between life and death to somebody if we all say, God, You've saved me for a purpose. You've given me your Spirit. Now give me these gifts and the ability to see and help that I might bring life, just like you did, Jesus. So I pray that you would pray today to be used in all God's gifts of His Spirit, understanding that through God's Spirit, your life, you can make such a difference. What did I say, Amy, Wednesday night? Christianity was never intended to be a spectator sport, right? Huh. That we're all called to minister because there's a battle going on. It's a battle for all eternity, for souls, for life. And it does mean life or death. You can make that difference.